Migs Cast here with the Reverend in Fuego.
Hello.
My name is Steve Migs, and I'm very excited. Yeah, this is, you're probably looking at your iPad, your iPhone, whatever it is that you do to listen to the Migs Cast. You're like, why is this out on a Friday?
So weird.
I thought you guys do this on Tuesdays. Everything's changing. Nothing is making sense anymore.
Cats and dogs living together. Lulus and Carls hanging out
on Instagram. Possibly goats getting into the mix. I don't know. We're doing it on a Friday because we're just moments away from chatting with our buds in the last international.
Yes.
Or international. You know, I got to ask them because for the longest time I thought it was the international, and then I heard an interview, it was international, so...
Was it an international interview?
Oh, gosh.
Because at that point, it could have been someone who doesn't speak English very well, and they could have just been, the last international.
International. So, yeah, they're just a second, they're going to just walk right in, and they got two shows, so that's why we're doing this on a Friday. They're coming in to do the interview, and then tonight they're in Everett. They're going to be playing at around midnight. They're part of the Fisherman's Music Festival, so definitely go check them out over there. And you just could go to The Last International with an E at the end, .com to get more information about that. And then tomorrow, I'm going to be at the show. I believe Castle's going to be there trying to... I think the Ted Smith might be going too. They're at the Crocodile.
Nice.
Oh, I'm so pumped. At the Croc, The Last International. It's going to be awesome. So get your tickets. I bought mine already. They're available at the Crocodile's website and all that fun stuff. But all right. So we have in studio, we have Delilah, Edgy, and Fern as well. The last... Okay. I've got a quick question for you guys because I feel like I'm a huge fan of your band. And then I feel like an idiot for even asking this because I've always called you guys The Last International.
Yeah.
And then I watch interviews and I've heard both ways, international, international.
Depends what country you're in.
Okay.
Oh, sweet.
If you're in the US, it's The Last International. If you're like in the UK, it's The Last Internationale.
Okay.
But I guess fans have been calling us TLI for short. It's much easier to pronounce and to spell out.
Yeah. Did you guys even think about that when you first came up with the band name? You're like, oh, we're going to confuse some people.
Yeah, we like making it hard for people.
We're very wordy. It's kind of a long... Yeah. It's even hard sometimes for me to say. I always might kind of mumble, so... I always have to say the name twice, so that's why, like, now I just say TLI. And so hopefully maybe that'll be the name people use.
We have our roots in folk, so we like to ramble.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can understand. When I say it, sometimes I'm even thinking that, too. I'm like, wow, it's just kind of like a tongue twister, even though it shouldn't be a tongue twister. It's just kind of funny. The last time I saw you guys, it was the show where you guys played over at the Graceland or El Corazon.
Yeah.
And that was awesome because it was a small... intimate, and I remember bringing a few people from work and be like, you guys got to come. This band is, you know, is the curse word, the S. But, like, I absolutely love these guys. And you never know when you bring some friends to a show and you're like, are they gonna look at me like, why'd you do this? I've had a couple experiences where my buddy's like, I'm going to go to the bar. And after that show, all of them were just like, I am so glad that you said that we should check this band out. And they became fans as well.
Cool.
Bought the record as well. And I was thinking about this, and this is there's no question. It's just a long rant about how awesome you guys are, and that seems to happen every time I have you guys on.
You should come in more often. We
right.
Like
you got to come to Seattle more to get this love. Vern, you didn't experience it the last time.
I didn't.
But I remember, I don't remember the last band where I bought the CD, had the download, and then bought the vinyl. I'm like, nice. Wow, the hat trick for The Last International, or TLI.
You didn't get the T-shirt?
Oh, yeah, I have two T-shirts. I'm your biggest supporter, man.
I'll bring you one for the show, man. I think we got a new T-shirt design or something.
Yeah. Do we?
I think so. Well, since last time we were two or three, but yeah.
And a sweatshirt.
And so how's it been since? I mean, you guys have, I don't even know where to start from playing with, obviously playing with Robert Plant, playing shows with, I mean, unfortunately he's no longer with us, but with Scott Weiland.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have just had quite a whirlwind of an experience. And from what I hear you guys, right when you walked in, you said, we're working on a new record. It just seems like there's been so much since the last time I talked to you guys.
There's a lot.
It's been a crazy whirlwind. Now we finally sat down to write a record. It's taken a few months to just write, so but I think we needed to do that. We had so many experiences on the road, and we've been through so much, like being signed to major label and then not being signed to major label, and then
thank God, good riddance.
Really? Oh yeah. Oh.
Well, and then we released a song on Tom Morello's label, Firebrand, and now we're just focusing on the music, which is very refreshing for us, and it just feels really good. And we're writing so many songs that we're going to do that and then focus on whatever business side.
Right.
Crappy business side is after that.
So that was a relief? I mean, because last time you guys were on the major label, yeah. did you feel like you were kind of being, I don't know if held back is the right word, or just you couldn't do everything that you wanted to do?
I wouldn't say it definitely held back, but it's more of a feeling of just being deserted on a desert island and wondering like what's going on.
And confusing. Know? I remember being just feeling weird, like nothing made sense anymore. I mean, like, who am I?
The word, I think the word is really incompetence. That's what it is. Like,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we can't give details because we're not supposed to talk about it.
But this is an off-air conversation then.
we're not talking about our experience with Epic. We're talking about almost anybody's experience with a major record label. That if anyone out there, like any bands out there that have been or even have been signed or haven't been signed, like as soon as you get the record deal, like you think that these people have the answers, they know what they're doing. But I think that record labels, like, they function a lot like governments. Mm-hmm. They're very incompetent. Like you think they have the answers, they know what they're doing, but in reality, they don't have a clue what is going on. And now when you talk about major record labels and rock and roll, those things are like antithetical to each other.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue, record labels, what to do with rock and roll music, especially nowadays. A lot of them admit it. We've sat with like the heads of record labels just recently, and they straight up told us to our face, I'm going to be honest with you, we don't know what to do with a band that plays actual
guitars.
Instruments.
Right. Yeah. In the world of radio, sometimes it's like, you know, it's hard to break a new band. And it's like, I'm just a knucklehead talking on the radio but I don't even understand the whole programming end, because it's like there are so many great bands, but it's like, well, what is it that, you know, is it the labels, is it the people that are consuming it, like where's the disconnect? Because I mean, I'm seeing great new bands out there all the time, and do you feel like it was like a situation where they just didn't get you guys, or like
they definitely didn't get it? I mean, these people with suits and ties at their cocktail parties and stuff, like what do they know about, you know? They're so rich and they've done it for so long that, you know, they lost touch with they're in a business to make a profit,
right?
And to rape the artist. They're not in there whatsoever about culture. They don't care about about fans or people who love music. I don't even think they're music lovers themselves, except for the people, like the lower level people that get fired every 2-3 months.
Right.
Those people love music, and they loved our band when we were over at the record label. But sadly, you know, the head guys, they take advantage of that, you know.
And I bet there was once still a point where they maybe were a fan of music and something got lost along the way. Because I look at back, like, when I was growing up, and I'm sure with you guys too, you look at some bands where, like, you know, I use, like, R.E.M. as an example. There's a band that it took, what, like 7 albums before anything really seriously happened on a mainstream level. But it took a record label, it took an A&R guy, it took somebody who believed in it and said, you know what, we got to let these guys grow into whatever it is, build a fan base, and then when it blows up, it's going to be even more spectacular than. Mm-hmm. And those days are so gone.
They're gone.
You got one record, if you don't fire off in all cylinders and sell 1 million records, it's like people just want to forget you, and that's unfortunate.
Absolutely. I always believe that the major record labels never knew what they were doing anyway, ever.
Yeah.
Even in the past, like, if you look at the history of, like, great things in music, no matter what kind of genre, like, when some kind of movement, like, sprung up, the major labels are usually the last ones to catch on, then they take the credit. Like, you know, Stack Records, you know,
right.
Like, and then you had Sun Records and, you know, Chess Records. These are, like, smaller record labels, because the majors wouldn't mess with Howlin' Wolf or Chuck Berry or anybody like that, or what they would call race music, you know. And so then later on they'd buy up their, you know, their music, and they'd give them contracts and then take credit for something they never even did.
That's a good point. When you look back now, I mean, I'm sure there was some hesitance in even signing with a major record label. Do you look back and be like, yeah, like, was there like a gut feeling that said, well, are we doing the right thing? I mean, because that's the deep question in a sense. It's like, now looking back on it, there's probably a lot of regret in a sense, but like, what made you want to do it in the first place then?
Well, we wanted to do it. We weren't like, oh, should we do it? Because first of all, we were sleeping on the floor.
I think that was coming up.
Yeah.
And we felt like we like at that stage you need like a push, you know, and you think that a major label could give you that push. They give you, like, they seem very passionate about you, so
no, they push us. Just push us in the wrong direction.
But I think the big thing was us not knowing it beforehand. Now we see like it more clearly, but back then we were like, oh, just they know what they're doing, just let them push us in this direction.
Right. Yeah.
And then we're like, wait, what's going on? Now we feel like we're not ourselves, like even musically, like we, even if you don't know it at the time, you are getting like stuff in put inside you that what isn't you, you know?
Gotcha, yeah. More fun stuff I want to talk about. I don't want to bum you guys out asking all these crazy, come on, man, let's hate these labels. Touring with Robert Plant had to have been a mind-blowing thing for you guys.
Totally, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was awesome.
Especially backstage, man.
I was going to say, what was really the experience like for you guys?
Mind-blowing. I don't even know how to, like, communicate it with you.
Well, as you didn't understand him. I understood him perfectly.
I mean, he's... all right, so Robert Plant is a really witty guy. And I didn't know this about him, but he has a great sense of humor.
Okay.
You know? And it's similar to mine, too. Like, you know, like our band likes to joke a lot and play pranks and all that stuff, like a lot of other bands. But he's on a whole other level. You know what I mean? Like, he starts talking about, he's an encyclopedia of music, and I thought I knew a lot about blues music. But he'll just start, like, it's almost like he's continuing a conversation we never had when he just walks right up to me and he's like, starts talking about Parchman Farms. I'm like, Parchment, okay. Now I'm going back to what that was. I remember reading it in some, like, obscure blues book, and then the conversation keeps going. I'm trying to follow him, but the accent is, like, for me, it's so thick that it's, like, I'm trying to pick up on what he's saying. And then he says something and just walks away from me, and it's like, I don't think I got a word in that conversation. I'll try better next time.
Good talk, Robert, good talk. He's probably like, I got that guy. I'm keeping him on his toes.
Yeah. What was your experience? She has a totally different experience with him.
Well, totally different. Whenever I talked to him, I was by myself, I guess. Like, he didn't talk to me really when I was with the group, but it always, like, when I was, like, walking by myself. So it was always, like, off guard also.
Uh-huh.
So the first time was, like, right when we were going to... our first show with him, I was walking down the stairs to go on stage to play, and he was coming up the stairs. And he's like, oh, hello, my name's Robert, like, introducing his first name to me. So I kind of, like, froze, but... And then I started giggling, so I didn't even know I'd do that, but I started, like,
but you
giggling.
Understood him, at least.
Yeah, of course. I don't think he's hard to understand. He talks, like, slow and calm, too.
Okay, what I've observed from all this, we actually opened up for a couple of, like, classic rock bands and, you know, like, legends, if you will, like Robert Plant.
Right.
Recently, we were on tour with The Who, and it's the same experience. It's, whatever guys are in the band, we're ignored. They don't even want to know about us. It's like, we walk in the room, like, whatever.
Right.
Robert Plant was an exception, I guess, because he was, he would talk to me, you know, a couple of times, but then it's always about Delilah. Always. I remember, like, getting off stage at one of the shows with the Paris show, and these two guys just grab Delilah and just whisk her, like, off the side of the stage and just bring her up to Roger Daltrey's, I guess, his dressing room.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he's there without a shirt, like, talking to Delilah. So,
how surreal is that?
It's insane.
What in the world is
That's
going on?
Awesome.
Like, you expect them swinging a microphone the whole time.
Yeah. We make our way up there, and I'm like, oh, what's up, Roger? Hey, what's up? Door slam.
Right.
Get out. Like, all right, I'm done. Conversation's over.
Well, Townsend did come to our dressing room the first
time. Yeah, because I was in the bathroom. She was by herself, and as soon as I was in the bathroom door, I got a little awkward. It's like, oh, this dude's in here.
No, actually, he started talking to you first when we were eating.
Pete
did, yeah. And he didn't talk to me. He didn't know I was in the band, and then he saw me.
Oh, so she's like a groupie or something, or like a girlfriend.
This is hilarious. I know. All of us are like, you know, we watch The Who, and we idolize The Who, and then you guys have, like, the most insane experiences, just, like, either not being recognized or being whisked away to the shirtless Roger Daltrey.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one show in particular, like, it was the show after, our tour manager comes up to us like, yo, Pete Townsend's pissed, man. I'm like, why, what happened? He's like, yo, one of you f***ed up, messed up his pedal board. I was like, really? I was like, wasn't me, man. That's all the way on the left side of the stage. I'm right side. And I started thinking about it. I was like, wait. Oh, man. I walked over to his side. I remember, like, tripping on something or whatever.
Oh, no.
The guy, like, so it's like, oh, man.
As for Fern, I mean, I'm a huge Who fan. I'm a drummer as well.
Oh,
and
cool.
Obviously, Keith Moon is just such an inspiration. Was there any part of you that's like, let me just have the sticks for one, just for soundcheck?
Well,
just let me jam with these guys on soundcheck.
It was pretty cool to set up in front of Zach Starsky's kid. And
this
guy's incredible. And, I mean,
I think,
and that's Ringo's kid.
Yeah, it is.
And he's played with Oasis. He's
so many, and yeah. And he's, you know, the best Keith Moon alive, because that guy does it just, you know, and the feel's great, and it was pretty surreal.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And the guys were so nice.
I agree with you. I've seen them like on videos. I've never seen them live, but I've seen other drummers play with the Who, and it's like, you're just too perfect of a drummer. And that's not a knock on Zach, because he's obviously, I've heard him in other bands, and he's in the pocket and perfect, but he's got to have that looseness and that almost sloppiness to be able to pull off those Who songs.
Yeah. Tell him to put a bomb in his drum kit. Didn't he do that in one of like TV shows? Like, he blew up his
He might have. He did a lot of crazy things, but no, he is great.
Last time we had you guys on, and you had Brad playing the drums with you. At what point did you guys make the transition, and what got you hooked up with these guys? And
it was the tour, we were playing tour.
Okay,
yeah. Brad didn't want to do it, so we're like, all right, cool, we're fine.
Yeah. How do you say no?
We don't say no. We say yes. We're there.
Yeah,
but with Brad though, he has. He has children. He can't tour more like often. So this is a touring band, as you know. We tour like months and months out of the year. We could live on road if we had.
Didn't the last time you guys came and you played over at El Corazon, he didn't have his ID, so he couldn't even go into the bar, if I remember correctly.
I remember there's a lot of bar incidents with Brad. I remember in South by Southwest, we were supposed to do a radio show, and he refused to go in because they wouldn't allow him in with the water. And we agreed with him on that rule.
Yeah.
That's the second edit you have to do there. Sorry. Okay. We're going to put you guys to work. But, he started cursing out the door guy, like, F you. Was like, I'm not going in there. Like, who's, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was actually my first real experience with, like, seeing a band, like, actually not take anything from a venue or anyone. And actually, that was a lesson for me. Like, since then, I started dropping F word left and right when someone told me, like, can't have a drink or something. Like, F you. Like, what kind of establishment is this? You know, like,
people are here to see us.
Yeah, we're human beings, dude. Like, treat us like human beings. We're not cattle, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because your city has some stupid law doesn't mean, like, I don't know. It's, I'm going forever about this kind of stuff. But yeah, he cursed out the door guy.
I love that it was over water. It wasn't even, like, anything overly rock star. It wasn't like, he wants to bring a bong in or something like that. It's a bottle of water. Come on, people. Hey, so, I mean, I have a million questions, but I'd love for you guys to play a song, kind of just break it up with a little music in between.
Cool.
I know you guys, what were you thinking of doing?
We wrote one this week. I think we should just do it. Just go right into that, man.
Grand spanking new.
Oh, this is, what's the name of the song?
It's called Modern Man.
Modern Man, okay.
Yeah. I think Delilah should describe what it's about, though, because it's actually
Well, it's very, I don't want to get depressed again, but
we'll turn it around. We've got that energy in here. Say what you got to say, and we'll tell fart jokes after that.
I saw, it's about many things, about women, women and indigenous people being the first ones to get, I guess, I don't want to say raped, but it is about that, you know.
Okay.
Taken advantage of.
Yeah, taken advantage of. So it's called Modern Man, and you'll hear it.
Well, that's not the real story. So I walked in on her watch.
If I think about the documentary, I'm going to start crying. So, you know, like,
I'll tell it, because I'm not as emotional. I'm not going to cry about it. But that sounds cold, but
I'm an emotional man, Delilah. I might have to come by, and we got to hold each other and just cry this out.
So I walked in on her watching documentary, and there was a scene where this woman, what country was it? Was it Iraq?
I think it was Iraq, yeah.
This woman in Iraq was getting reprimanded by her father and a bunch of weird religious dudes standing around him. Like, I guess, like, because, what did she do?
It was undercover footage from some of the ISIS fighters. When they were going into the town and attacking the Yazidi population, which is, like, the minority over there. And a lot of the women, tons of women, thousands, are being held captive, being, you know, raped and for like a long period of time. So there's this man who is going undercover, kind of making an underground railroad for the women and taking them out. And a lot of his men were also killed because they were in ISIS territory, like undercover, and got found out. So there's this whole thing, just interviews about the women and all the things
You know, well,
they went through.
Where can we find this documentary? Is it like
on Netflix?
Don't remember the name.
I thought you saw it on Netflix.
I did. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
But the particular scene
that we saw, I think, that inspired the song was this girl's father is reprimanding her for leaving the house, or that's what I was asking. Like, what
she was accused of adultery.
Okay, accused of adultery, and the father's like yelling at her and like repent for your sins and all that, and then the father and a couple of other people are like stoned her to death on camera. Oh,
there's a video of it.
And so there's a line in here that relates to that. So like, the song's about that kind of stuff.
She asked for his forgiveness, and the father wasn't even giving her forgiveness, like even at that point. So,
Sorry
to bring the mood down.
Well, let's check out the song. I'm excited to hear it.
From that. So.
All right, we have The Last International here hanging out on the Mixcast.
Like I wanna burn everything you know. I don't want this misery. Hate is a modern beast. Don't get me high, then bring me low. Hang me up just for the show. Bombs away. Bombs away. They take you from your got you up and locked down, so you gotta burn, you gotta burn. Told me my God was a whore. Oh yeah, he's a modern man. Don't get me high, then bring me low. Hang me up just for the show.
That did not suck.
That was amazing. God, that was just so cool.
Cool. Thanks for letting us play that.
Yeah. No, thank you for playing that. So how many new songs have you guys written so far?
A lot. Maybe like 30 right now, maybe, and some more that are just not finished.
Damn. So how's the process as far as, I mean, you're touring, you're doing shows. I mean, do you go to a practice space? I mean, how do you get to find time to, I mean, obviously you could do stuff on acoustic guitars, but I mean, with Fern as well. I mean, I would imagine you got to be somewhere where you can bang the drums. You got to be
I mean, it's kind of hard to juggle everything because we're doing everything on our own right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like most of the days for songwriting and practicing, it has to be the music first and foremost. And then everything else has to be, I guess, somewhat secondary. I have to find a time for, you know, as far as like emails and all this other stuff to do, setting stuff up, and I don't know. But a lot goes into the music. Like, we'll wake up like 6-8 hours into songwriting or playing, and then do another three or four before going to sleep at like 3-5 in the morning.
Jeez.
And then repeat all over again.
Most of the stuff gets, like, the good stuff gets done in like 2-5 in the morning. You know? You're a little delirious.
After a couple beers, you're like, I got a song.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself, I find the fact that you, the lyrics and the idea of the song comes from watching a documentary and just finding inspiration in some of the most interesting ways. I mean, do you find yourself like being like, you know, watching a lot of movies or documentaries and that's what leads to these songs? Or where are you pulling a lot of this stuff from?
Yeah, I think it's everything. It's like the experience on the road. There's stuff from childhood that's always like pent up in there, you know.
It's the new
psychological
album.
Problems or but yeah, I mean, that's this song, like, I saw the documentary and then like I kept thinking about it and like I kept thinking about it, but we weren't writing about it, and then all of a sudden I'm like, all right, it was there, like with the guitar part that we were writing, then the song came like flooding out, but it's like in there for a while, and then maybe it won't come out right away, but eventually it comes out. And
or if you have like a riff, you're like, this is where it needs to go with.
That's pretty much that, yeah.
And I don't know if, I mean, this is again probably one of my long rants about how awesome you guys are, but excuse me, I gotta do it.
Keep talking.
Okay, good. I think it's important for you guys to know. I mean, obviously you guys write such powerful songs. You put them out there for us to enjoy and us to absorb, and they help. I mean, I think they help people get through some tough things. I know for me, and not getting too bummer, obviously, but I mean, between work and personal stuff, it's been like a really rough ride for a few months now, right? So when I was in I was telling you guys before we started, I was in New Jersey hanging out with my family, and my wife was trying to keep me somewhat in shape with all the lobster and all the fat food that I was putting in my body. She's like, let's go for a jog. I'm like, all right, cool. And I pop in, you know, We Will Rain, and It'll Be All Right comes on, and it's a song that I've always loved, but all of a sudden I'm like jogging and I'm like, you know, I'm air drumming along to it and I'm feeling everything. And, you know, probably the neighbors, everyone in the retirement village is looking at, what is this weird tattooed bald guy air drumming as he's jogging? Has he got a problem or something? But then I'm like focusing on the words, and I'm focused. And obviously we all take meaning to different things. Like, I don't know the full meaning other than what I hear. And then it just takes me down a road, and it's like just hearing you sing that at that moment, it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, everyone goes through a bunch of crap, but it's like nice to, I don't know how to put it into words, but it's nice to hear that, yeah, things are all right. And it's such a awesome thing about, that's why I love music. It's like whenever I'm going through whatever crap I'm going through, certain bands can help pull me out of that, at least for the time being. Right? And I always tell people, when you go, like, we all deal with issues and depression and life stuff, and I always tell myself and people that are willing to listen to my stupid voice that, hey, surround yourself and do things that are fun to help you get through whatever it is, and music is that for me, and thank you guys. I mean, that's like, I know that album probably has a lot, I would imagine you have a lot of love for it because it's an amazing record, but, you know, obviously with the label stuff, that could be kind of a sour subject at times, and for as a fan, that album, that song, and many of the songs, I mean, it just, you know, resonate in such a powerful way, and I just appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Thank you. I mean, that's the biggest thing, like you saying that is like one of the best things for us to hear too. It's like when we write something, we want people to relate to it, or, you know, to feel something from it. So
awesome.
I think what keeps us like from becoming all sour from our like own behind the scenes experiences that people don't really know about is I guess it's people like you, and it's like the fans, and like interacting with them. And, you know, I think a lot of musicians forget like the reasons why they, you know, decided to do this in the first place. Yeah, unless it was just to pick up chicks or something, you know,
it's like, which I'm sure doesn't suck. I mean,
I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
As a drummer, I don't know that, right, Fern?
Oh, wow. Throw me into the bus.
Me, you and me both.
Yes.
I lived it, man. I think my old band, the bassist, picked up the most chicks, and she's a chick. What's going on here?
That is.
That's classy. No, but music's supposed to inspire. That's exactly what it's about, you know? And our band has a political slant to it. Or a very big political slant.
Yes.
And, you know, we're here to... You see now, with the whether you support them or not, the Bernie Sanders campaign is inspiring a lot of people, whereas rock and roll is not as much as it used to, you know?
Right.
And that's because rock and roll lost its rebellious side. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... They're looking for endorsements. Where's Coca-Cola at? You know what I'm saying?
Where's this whiskey company? Yeah. Are they going to sponsor our tour?
Pack? Yeah. You know, rock and roll artists have super PACs. You know what I mean? Bernie don't. Bernie's more rock and roll than every mainstream band out there.
And he's got the crazy hair to boot.
Yeah. And I mean, bands say, hey, we aren't selling records anymore, this and that. Well, why don't you scale down? Sell one of your yachts. Maybe sell one of your mansions. Scale down. Be true to your music. Because if Bernie Sanders can win an election, because he has a chance, if he can win an election without taking any campaign contributions from corporations, then I think rock and roll artists can do it on our own, man.
Yeah.
So that's our philosophy. That's where we're coming from. And it's always about the people and connecting with them. It's never about anything else. And we can't lose focus of that.
Man, I love hearing that.
If you do, you need to smack me in my face next time we come back in.
I'm in, man. I'm in. I'll be waiting outside the crock. You guys, if tomorrow you're still not in line, you're done. Do you guys, are you up for doing some more songs? Or I don't know if you'd be up for that. Or
what kind of song you want?
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, it'll be all right. I mean, if you guys could do that.
We haven't done that in years.
Or I'll be all right.
The chords, you remember?
I don't remember that at all.
Then don't worry about it.
Next time, we'll have that.
We'll have it for next time.
All right, you got 5 minutes to figure it out. No.
Should we do another new one, one off the record, or if we will rain, or?
We could do both.
Well, let's do both.
Ooh, you want to do Hard Times or We Will Rain?
Let's do... I can do Hard Times.
Okay. You want this one?
The heavy... Okay.
And Rev, just so when they perform, turn our mics off.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, watch the headphones.
This happened on stage.
Even though they're acoustic, we're still dealing with chord issues. What's up? Because one's a 12-string guitar and one's not. I was kind of in my head trying to figure out, well, why did they make this?
Nice. I actually like the distortion. You just get the levels right. Because I'm playing electric or something. So here's another new one. It's called Hard Times. I think we'll play this because you were talking about music that gets you through some hard times. And we wrote this because of that, because, you know, the way the economy is and people
awesome.
Just going through some ish.
I appreciate that. That's awesome. Yeah.
You don't have to edit that one. That wasn't
awesome. Some ish.
Appreciate that one.
Rev, he said sugar.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
There's no way we can get a little drumming action here, can we?
I can't. I don't
have can you use the guitar case? I got a really cheesy tambourine. It's like, it's, hold on, I'll go grab it. You guys talk so much yourself.
Oh, you have the tambourine.
It's a really crappy one, though.
Oh, that, that works.
I could play a little.
You play crappy instruments sometimes, too. So.
Maybe something like...
It's literally a children's tambourine. Like, yeah. So
nice.
Don't be too astounded by it.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Oh, love it. I'll speed by again.
Go for it.
Yeah. I love
that. That is perfect.
For those that don't know, I've grabbed Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus. Like, I think that's what it is. All right, so this is Hard Times, the last international, with a little help from the cheesiest tambourine known to man in a guitar case that Fern is playing. Here we go.
Are you doing the intro?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're doing the whole thing. All right. Like, it's like Madison Square Garden or
something.
Let's
do it.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hard times, hard times. Gotta get out of these hard times. Tired of you talking, spilling lies upon my floor, and the crowd that you walk in. Don't shake for me no more. The world is so cold. We gotta get through somehow. This cruel old world, where we get through anyhow. I've been lost, I've been forced, torn and broken down. I've been lost, I've been forced, torn and broken down. Living ain't easy. The zoo. My mama ain't called no freak star, and I can't get none too. The world is so
You gotta be kidding me.
Dude, just watching all three of you jam, just, oh my God.
It doesn't put this.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to understand what's going on in my head, like, my favorite band in the world right now is in a room with me. Their drummer is banging on a guitar case, playing
a children's tambourine.
Playing a children's tambourine.
A battery powered children's tambourine.
Right. Which I think it lights up. I think it lights up, but I think the batteries are dead. And they're jamming the serious F out. Goosebumps. I mean, there was one point where I'm clenching my fist so hard because I'm like, I don't even know how to put it into words. Like, it's just like, I'm like, I just want to, like, just bang on the table. Like, oh, this feels so good. You guys are incredible. I mean, I absolutely, this just, like, when I have you in here and I listen to music, it just reminds me why I love your music. I love your message. I love everything that you guys put out there because it's important, I think, for music fans and just people who want to think openly to hear. And you guys are just so phenomenal, man. I love it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
That was just ridiculous. That was
drumming for. Oh,
yeah, great job on that.
Is your hand going to be okay?
It's going to be all right, yeah. It's an acoustic guitar case.
When we're on our way here, it was like, yo, can you play drums? He's like, with what, my hands?
The answer is yes, you can.
That was fun.
That was like a campfire.
Absolutely. I love the just like impromptu, like you got to figure out on the spot. So
yeah.
That was cool. Yeah.
I remember one time I was like, for my I played drums for a church group a couple of times a month, and sometimes they do it like at a campsite. And they're like, well, we want you to come. And I'm like, I'm not bringing a full kit to this because it's just going to overpower everything. So like, well, do whatever you want. So I had like a tambourine, some bundles, like the ones that Dave Grohl uses unplugged, and a cardboard box and a bass drum pedal. And I walk in and they're like, are things okay? You cannot afford a drum? And I duct taped the cardboard box to the back of a chair, bass drum pedal on it, and it sounded awesome. And everybody, and it's like a lot of people are older, and I think they look at me a little weird because like this tattooed guy, but they've grown to love me and realize that, hey, his heart's in the right place. And you know, I kind of, from my wife's family, that's why I go, and fell in love with everybody in the community that they have. And just watching their faces, like, they're like, we have never experienced someone willing to do something so weird like that. And that's kind of how it felt.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's cool.
That brings out, I think, sometimes the most fun moments.
Yeah, weird is good.
Yeah.
Weird is good.
I agree. Yeah.
Totally, man.
How soon until you guys get into a studio to... I mean, I'm sure you probably have recorded some stuff. I've seen the YouTube videos and the stuff that you post on Facebook as well. But I mean, I would imagine at some point you're going to want to jump into a studio and get this record done.
Oh, yeah.
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 What do you think? The summer?
Mm-hmm.
What are we in May? We're May, so I'm hoping by like August.
Yeah.
We should have, you know, take a month for the record.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to pick a producer. That's step one. We've been producing ourselves, and we kind of dig it. So, like, I think maybe the plan is produce our own record and then get a producer. But like, if it ain't better than this, we're putting this out. I don't know.
Kinda that's not a bad
first
idea.
Anyway, we did it twice. So.
Yeah. I mean, and do you feel that when? I mean, I'll find out on tomorrow and then tonight. Yeah. Just to let people know again, Fisherman's Music Festival tonight in Everett, you guys are playing, which is going to be awesome. And then tomorrow at the Crocodile, which I cannot wait to see you guys. I bought the tickets and I'm ready to rock. I'm looking so forward to it.
Oh, we could have put you on the list, man.
Dude, I firmly believe in investing in the bands I love. I mean, I'm the guy that will buy the t-shirts, even for my friend's band shows, the CDs. I just think it's the right thing to do. It's just, I mean, you guys provide such amazing entertainment and help me through some stuff. What's $12 for a ticket? You know what I mean? Like, that's... I can't put a price on that kind of fun. So...
Thanks, man.
To me... Dude. Like, I wouldn't even imagine asking. But... So, do you like doing the writing some songs, hitting the road to test out the songs to see if the people dig them? Or are you... You know, some bands don't want to throw it out there live because they don't want people hearing these songs until it's on a record.
No, we wear our heart on our sleeves, man. Everything's out there for them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, well, we do test. We send a few people that have different opinions, and if they all like the song, like, we'll send the record, like the MP3 of it.
I don't test personally. I'm like, this is the jam. If you don't like it, there's something wrong with you. Go find your soul, dude. No, there's been songs we've written that I thought was like the greatest song in history, and like 2 days later I'm like, oh, this is horrible. So it's like, I think there's like a 3 to 5 day period of like when you realize if something's good or not.
I see that even in radio stuff. Like, I mean, at times, like, I have an idea for like a segment or a topic or even like a little fun bit or something along those lines. I'm like, oh, this is going to tear it up. And then I'll sit on it for a few days. And I'm like, Did somebody put like an edible in something that I was eating? Because I don't understand why this was a good idea in the first place.
There's many songs we wrote like that. So,
so I was hoping that you guys mentioned you could do another song off of the record "We Will Reign." That would be awesome.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
We're going to "Want It Man," "We Will Reign." I don't know.
Wait,
what's cool with drums, man?
Yeah, we got it. You got to keep the drums going. Yeah, we have to keep the drums going.
You got to keep it going. We can switch.
Oh, "Want It Man." Yeah, we can do.
Yeah, I can make something. Right?
I love this. This is so awesome,
right?
So long, and the shed is my home. I've been killing whether right or wrong. Between two sides, I'm drawn and gone, and a god that has left me alone. I am no one, and I'll die. Oh, telling whether right or wrong.
Damn, that was awesome.
Cool.
I love that you try to get the tambourine to keep like like to shake out, and it's like nothing. Friend, you were banging that damn guitar case so hard I saw wood chips falling
off
of it.
Yeah, I was seeing them too.
That's punk rock right there.
It is.
Thank you guys so much
thank you for
being
so
a part of all this and hanging out with us. I was so pumped when I got the message from you guys saying you're coming back to town. And yeah. I was just glad. I was like, oh, crap, I'm going home to visit my family. Is this going to time out right? I'm like, oh, yes.
So nice.
I can't wait to see you guys.
We love your radio show.
Thank you.
It's rare to find a radio show like this in America, man. It's great.
Well, I love you guys. I mean, absolutely cannot wait to see you guys. And thank you.
Thank you
for joining us. Thank you for the music. Thanks
for having us.
It's great to meet you, Fern, as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for banging on the guitar and all that. All right, well, that's this week's Mixcast, and we will hopefully see you guys at the Crocodile or at the in Everett, over at the Everett Music Festival, the Fisherman's Music Festival. That's tonight. You guys are going on around midnight?
Midnight.
And then at the Crocodile, do you have any idea around what time you guys go on?
I don't know.
9 or 10.
9, 10? I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Sometime at night, go see them. Crocodile, that's in Seattle. Hopefully I'll see you guys there. Thank you, guys. Once again, The Last International.
Thank you. Awesome.